really calling the shots in the government of national unity? Let's ask Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome, Neil, to your usual Sunday slot with BizNews.
Oh, very good day, Chris, and to our lovely BizNews family. What a day. It's Helen Zille. Plain and simple.
Well, she says it's not a government of national unity. She says it's a coalition between the Democratic Alliance and the ANC. What do you say, Neil?
Helen Zille says what she wants to. I think let's start off with the following. It's not the fact that we are taking on the character of Helen Zille. Helen Zille, aka, in certain people's view, Godzilla, is a person I would like to quickly tell you about and my interface with her. So it's not the fact that she is there that's the problem. It's not the fact that she is whom she is that's the problem. Helen Zille has a plan with the GNU, and the GNU clearly has no counter plan for Helen Zille. So I'm going to say the following. I know her. I have sat in meetings where she has been. I have seen Helen Zille operate. I have sat back and been present when Helen Zille goes into a meeting and then says what Helen Zille needs to say. Now, Chris, let's not be in any way dodging the elephant in the room. So here it comes. There are so many people that speak about Helen Zille that have never met her, that do not know where she comes from, does not know how she delays, portrays, invokes, and puts to the path, her tactic, and do not understand, and I'll say it, the actual tactical brilliance of this individual. So we've got to now open that scenario for once and for all. I've met her, and I will tell you, to me, it was a privilege to meet her because you can unpack Helen Zille in so many ways. But there's a couple of things you cannot, and in my presence, I will not fall for it. Number one, she has not an iota of racism in her because in actual fact, I've been present when the discussion of racism, the accusation of racism to her brought a tear. In other words, the inner humanity of Helen, I saw it when it was in such a way she was enraged. But she has her opinion. We all know the Twitter to the tweets for the twats about colonialism not being that bad. I unpacked that with her because I come from the struggle and it was clear that that was not what was meant, but was framed that way. Clearly, when you talk about the multi-party charter, when you talk about the GNU, when you talk about the DA involvement, when you talk about that in current history, Helen Zille is present. Helen Zille will go in there and she will leave Chris with what she wanted to achieve, no matter the tactic. Now, you can call it a bully tactic. You can call it a Stalin tactic. She has that. So when you look at Helen and Helen goes into a meeting, Chris, I sat in a meeting where she was invited by a group to actually promote a group. And when she left, that group was annihilated. And she didn't do it in the fashion of being facetious or rude or boasting. No, she came in there with a very specific intellectual prowess, having had done her job, having had done her research, having had done what she wants to achieve. And she annihilated it. Now, it is my humble opinion, once and for all, that she will wag this dog's tail. This is it. She and Fikile, wat alles absoluut op donner. Fikile, I'm telling you, is not on her level. This is clear. So she's going to irritate the ANC. She's going to wreckball them every opportunity she has because she does not just look at a document. She does not just interpret a document. She becomes the document. So when the first fight started about what did we sign, make no mistake, she knew what she signed, and I'm telling you, they had a hand in it. She can say that the ANC wrote the GNU. No. The DA does not sign anything. Anything. If it doesn't assert their input, their guideline, and their agenda. And this is not a right or wrong question. It is just, you asked me, who's ruling the roost in the GNU? Well, it's Helen Ziller. And why? She gets under their skin. She's been an astute politician. She's in your face. And I'm telling you, Chris, this is never going to be an algorithm of this. Helen's algorithm isn't this. Helen's algorithm is this. So, you know, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Doesn't matter. But one thing I'll tell you, you will be very clear on the fact that you must wake up very early in the morning when you are going to have a meeting with Helen Godzilla.
Well, Neil, you said she has a plan for the GNU. What is her long-term strategy?
Well, I don't have to think about it. I think I'm very clear. One, Helen Ziller is committed to the Democratic Alliance until death. So that tells you something. She is the DA. She is DA. And she has a absolute, maybe sometimes fanatical ideology that the DA is the next government. This is clear. Number two, that the ANC cannot govern, that they are currently in government with the ANC, and she's now saying in a very clear video clip, and obviously having to now explain that that was not what she meant, but she meant it. They are in a coalition. They bail the ANC out for power, and they don't see it as a government of national unity. She said that. If it was a GNU, then everybody, including MK, including EFF, would have been there. They're not. So it's not a GNU. She said, this is a coalition. Well, Chris, can we stop the utter rubbish, the continued labeling, and call it so? It is a coalition between the ANC and the DA. And thirdly, she believes to keep them in check, to keep them in balance, and to assert the policies of the DA, and that will bring her to outmaneuver continually in conflict in this GNU.
So how do you see the future of the GNU because of that, Neil?
Something's going to have to give. Because what you can clearly see is that the GNU is currently going ahead. There's now accusations that the poor ANC is now being outshined by the new ministers, the Gaytons, the Leon Schreibers, the John Steenhuisens, the McPhersons. Listen, hey, you don't sit back and say you're being outshined. Outshine yourself. Work to that effort. What we can clearly see is that new brooms are sweeping cleaner under Peter Groenewald and the rest. And here's the fact. Either the DA is going to dominate this and continually outwork, outshine, outmove, or the ANC is going to continually to outmaneuver, outplan, outbreak, outdemonize the continual efforts to bring this GNU to what we, the citizens of this country, are praying, hoping for, and that is a better life for all. But you can see this is not just settling cracks. They've settled now. We know who they are. They are there, all 75 of them. And now it's going to be about not can they settle, but can they continually get back to the table and readdress? And then, Chris, the last thing, this national dialogue thing, which Helen has now brought up, saying it seems that this national dialogue is being done without them.
From politics to crime. Neil, can you please give us an update on that suspected secret military training camp?
Yeah, Chris, I think crazy how the worms have come out to the top ground after feeding downstairs. So may I make a submission here? Chris, people write to us and on the show, they continually tell us that we seem to have to be prophecies in the future. We have to be prophets, that they are saying, but you said that and you didn't get that wrong. And you said that, but you did get that wrong. And you know, what kind of intel do you get? I want to quickly tell you how it works here. We are not the lotto number. If it was, I would tell you 14, 6, 65, 35, the bonus pool is 2. What a lot of rubbish. We are not prophets here. What we do here and what I do to prepare for this show is quite a lot. I tap into every form of call and intelligence that I can. I read, I monitor, I observe, and I make contact with people, past and present, that know. We then come here on a Sunday, and I, in my way, my manner, put on the table what I've heard. We only have a couple of minutes. So I want to tell the people here that what we say is not always predicting what's coming. Intelligence doesn't work that way. Intelligence, true intelligence people like myself, we have a lot of things that we need to put onto one table to make things complex, simple. It is now very clear that Mpumalanga, White River, Militaire de Sécurité were training Libyans of a certain faction, not in security, but in guerrilla and conventional warfare. That's it. We know that they were here under the auspices of a false visa. We know who these people are. We know who are training them. We know what they paid. And we know exactly what was the objective. This is now very clear. It is just the government that went out and said that intelligence services were found napping. Now, Chris, while they're napping, people are bloody dying. And this needs to be corrected. My problem is not the 95 they found, not the camp that they clearly now observe, but the big question, are there more than 95 people of different countries in this country, and are there more of these camps? My submission to you, yes, they are. They very much are. And the question is, what are we going to do about
it? Well, you're talking about intelligence napping. How would you describe the current state of crime intelligence?
It's in a deep sleep. It doesn't exist. So plain and simply, my submission is clear. Crime intelligence, national intelligence, state security, and military intelligence are four of the conclaves that are the cornerstones of different scenarios, different spectrums, but must work in unison. I'll say that again. You must connect military intelligence, crime intelligence, national intelligence, and state security. You must have a unifying factor. What is very interesting is that now for a couple of years, we do not anymore have an independent minister of either intelligence or state security. This is worrying. I have an opinion on that, and I'll gladly give it to you. You cannot be happy, confident, when the Ministry of Intelligence is moved into the presidency. I just don't like that. I don't know why. I can just tell you I just get these things on my neck when we don't have an independent judiciary, an independent intelligence service or police. So currently, we have a state security structure that is under the auspices of the presidency served by a deputy minister. I can, in the next program, give you the possible scenarios why. But right now, it is only obvious to me that the collective guideline, the gyro that is supposed to bring those services of military intelligence, crime intelligence, national intelligence, and state security together, that pivot, I don't think it's there. I think they are clustered. I think they are speaking only to themselves. And I could be wrong, but if I was right, Chris, then obviously there wouldn't be terror cells in this country. There wouldn't be a free roaming currently of so-called cartels. There wouldn't be Libyans in this country running around, donning uniform to train to go and do what in other countries. We wouldn't be on the grey listing. We wouldn't be on TV programs like Gold Mafia. We wouldn't be in the position, I'm sorry, that we are. So the only equals I've got is failure, failure. And then when a MEC of Safety of Security in Mpumalanga acknowledges that intelligence services were found napping, a person a civilian person, but even more a guy like me that comes from there and still does speeches about intelligence, about counterintelligence to companies. There's red flags everywhere. So I'm sorry, I will use that minister's word. They're napping, and they better bloody wake up.
But are they napping because of incompetence, or are they napping because of interference?
I fear all three. I fear that there's a mess of incompetence due to the fact of the massive exit of the old guard that was intelligence. You would remember that when we had integration, when the liberation armed forces had to be integrated into the statutory apartheid intelligence services, you will remember Dr. Neil Barnard was one of the people that was the gyro at that time, pardon me, that was driving intelligence. Then we had to be integrated. You now have two divisions. You have what they call NI and SSA, the old SAS. If you look at national intelligence as it is today, it should be the FBI in our country, and the Secret Service SAS should be the CIA. One should be external and the other one internal. The question is, are we really internal and external? Your external intelligence service finds out what are the threats that are going to be implemented in our country from foreign to domestic. And your domestic intelligence service is there to gather the intelligence in this country for the same reason, except domestic to domestic. Question is, do we still have the track record of informants? Do we still have the track record of people outside that give us the inside? And I'll tell you no. And I'll tell you why. More and more international intelligence services are pulling out. And one of them is America. The United States, CIA, NSA, they are saying, but hello, we're sending you the documents. We are telling you where they are. We are warning you where they are coming from. In actual fact, we are telling you where they are coming from and where they're going. Christmas is clear. We've had that. And what we are doing is we are either ignoring it, we cannot read it, we cannot understand it, or we are told to block it. So there you are. It's incompetence. It is a fact that there's a brain drain. And thirdly, here we go again. I think it's leadership. And that rots from the head.
Neil, lastly, let's take a turn in KwaZulu-Natal, where the fight against crime has the bodies piling up.
Yeah, I'm very clear. So I'm going to give you a synopsis, if I can just quickly, my brain's going a little bit boo-boo because I'm old, and I want to read you something, if I may, so that I don't get it wrong, and I've got 3,452,963 So I want to read it. May I?
Yes, please.
Section 49 of the South African Criminal Procedure Act, 51, and here's the important thing, 1977, provides police officers with legal justification to use force in carrying out arrests and includes the rules governing the degree of force to be used, and here's the caveat, as well as the circumstances in which such force may be employed. Chris, it is very clear that in 1977, I don't think the fathers that wrote Section 49 ever thought that thugs, domestic terror groups, and evil would actually be fighting our police with AK-47s, would be fighting them with stolen R4 and R5 carbines, would be shooting at our police with AR-15s, rocket launchers, and the doubling of one or two hand grenades. Surely in 1977, when they spoke about the guideline of police and their force implementation, never knew this. So number one, I think that this act must be reviewed ASAP, because what we see today is specifically in KZN, people being shot to death. Now they're going, why? Well, I'll tell you why. You pick up a carbine, you pick up a weapon that is used in war, either an AK or an automatic, and you pull that trigger on a policeman, the only thing that I can warrant on you is death. Now, we don't want to shoot you. We really want to let you have your day in court. But the question is, you firing on the authority that is supposed to protect our people, you are not giving us our day in court. So I'll make it very clear. The escalation of force, the usage of force is guaranteed in the Section 49. And now people are saying, well, let's get them to do it. They're killing so many. Yes. And from a Neil de Beer perspective, we are not killing enough. Oh, now we're going to lose people. We are not defending ourselves enough. So there's a possible leadership here. We can see it in KZN, where the provincial commissioner has got up and said, no, we will use the full extent of Section 49, where you have to make the choose and choice of shoot, don't shoot. And I wish that every other province said, no, Chris, no, I'm not being inhuman. I'm not being nasty. I'm just saying, if a decision is made by a criminal element in this country, by picking up a gun and pointing it either at the police or the citizenry of this country, you will blow them away. Because then we will find that there might be a course where people will understand you have the right to life, you have the right to live, and you have the right to protect yourself and your family. So I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's fine. But I'm telling you now, in KZN, people are thinking twice, picking up a gun now and shooting at the police.
Indeed. Thank you. That was Neil de Beer, the president of United Independent Movement, taking BizNews viewers through another eventful week of politics and the fight against crime. Thank you, Neil, and I am Christine.